Good morning.
Elvira Jimenez versus the Madison area.
Good morning. May it please the court. I preface my comments by coming here that there are two issues before the court. Whether the trial court exceeded its authority in issuing the dismissal in its entirety, and whether this court should impose additional sanctions. In the original pleading, the amount of money was not reviewable and therefore is not before the court. What plaintiff Jimenez is concerned about in this matter was the dismissal in the entirety. It is agreed that the comments, the salacious comments that amounted to the sanctions related to a claim in the case of racial harassment or hostile environment. However, there were three other additional claims in here. One was a demotion. The plaintiff was demoted from a level 15 to a level 14 position. The other allegation was the denial of equal protection, and also as to whether she was subjected to that equal protection because of a failure to investigate. What we have contended, and counsel on filing the motion for additional sanctions, did not cite any additional authority to us to say, look, the trial court was correct in dismissing the entire complaint in its entirety. The defendants relied exclusively upon the Eighth Circuit case in Pope, whereby that case was dismissed, but it dealt solely with harassment. Now, what do you have in these contentious civil rights cases is what you have in this case. You had a plaintiff going to an attorney, illustrating the facts in our case. The trial court says that the plaintiff attorney violated Rule 11 by not doing a due diligence inquiry. The plaintiff attorney accepts that chastisement. But does this court say to the trial court, look, you now are free to impose the sanction of dismissal in its entirety against the plaintiff? We believe that there is no case law in this jurisdiction on that point. And the other thing is, what is happening with this kind of a case? It is essentially giving the defendant and the employer a free ride. A free ride if they're discriminated on the adverse employment action, i.e. of the level 15 to the level 4. It could be argued that the plaintiff did have a prima facie case on the demotion. It could be argued that the plaintiff...
Are you appealing the district court's determination that some of that email was fabricated?
No, I am not.
You're not appealing it?
I'm not appealing that. I'm only appealing the contention of the trial court.
Is there any evidentiary support for your claims that their other documents were found to be fraudulent?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Other than the documents were found to be fraudulent.
I don't think so, Your Honor. What I do know, and I think the defendant would admit to this, there is evidence that she was, in fact, demoted. The demotion had nothing to do with the emails.
What is our standard here?
The standard is an abuse of discretion.
All right.
Now, and it's also a differential
assuming
standard.
Agreeing that you did not appeal the point about the emails being fraudulent, where do you stand?
I believe.
How can it be how can you meet the standard of an abuse of discretion?
Well, I believe that this court has not spoken on that. And the question I'm asking the court to consider is the consequences and the practicality of this decision.
Mr. Nunnery, why do you believe that Judge Crabb abused her discretion in dismissing the lawsuit? You are not appealing the fact that the emails are forged. So what did Judge Crabb, how did she abuse her discretion when she said this lawsuit is done with?
Because I think this court has other alternatives. For example, it has a pattern that it has outlined in the dismissal sanction for Rule 37. It is not clear of what the pattern and context is for Rule 11. Are all cases because a plaintiff commits a wrong or make a misrepresentation, are all of those lawsuits dismissed?
But isn't this entire lawsuit based on those forged emails?
That is the incorrect assumption in this entire matter. The independent claims, and this is what I was trying to argue in the hearing, the independent claim of the demotion has nothing to do with the forged emails. The failure to investigate her claims of discrimination has nothing to do with the forged emails. Embedded in the complaint itself is that the prima facie case of the adverse action taken against her was the demotion. That can stand independent. It has.
Is that still left in the district court?
It was in the complaint. It was argued in the hearing and in the entire thing in the filings.
Was it waived when it wasn't appealed?
Do we
have a final judgment in this case?
Yeah, but
in all respects.
Yes, that was appealed. That's in the brief. That's why we were requesting that it not be dismissed in its entirety. Our main concern is how can the entire case be dismissed when these other independent causes of action had nothing to do with the salacious emails. And it's very, very easy to say that the emails is the cause of it being reviewed in its entirety. And even reading Judge Crabb's decision, she cites not one legal authority. Not one legal authority as to the entire dismissal. And what I'm saying is,
well, Rule 11b3 is her legal authority for dismissing the case. So that's a legal authority, isn't it?
Yes, John. But in summary, what I'm asking this court to do, and perhaps it is indeed an uphill battle, but can a civil rights litigant come in with three independent claims? An individual who has a psychiatric treatment, and these independent claims has nothing to do with the email. What, in effect, at the end of the day, the employer seems to get a free ride, and it frustrates the whole intent and purpose of allowing a litigant to come in and argue a civil rights claim. Thank you,
Counselor. All right.
May it please the court, my name is Peter Albrecht. Good morning. There's two points I'd like to address briefly, the appeal of the Rule 11 sanctions and then our motion for additional sanctions under Federal Rule of Procedure 38. Let's get right to the issue of the appeal of the Rule 11 sanctions. The bottom line is Ms. Jimenez cheated and she got caught. She tried to submit falsified documents to the court to bolster her case. Judge Crabb saw that those documents permeated Ms. Jimenez's entire case. Judge Crabb was there. This court, in its Mars Steele decision, for instance, has recognized that there is deference due to the trial court because the trial court is there. The trial court assesses the credibility of witnesses, had the opportunity to examine the documents. And in this case, Judge Crabb went further. This transcript is of 5 hours of hearing held before Judge Crabb. The motion for sanctions was fully briefed, and then we had a full evidentiary hearing, opening statement, direct, cross, closing statements. Documents were produced to the court and examined by Judge Crabb. And in her discretion, based on all that she saw and an assessment of the credibility of the witnesses and the documents, she said, Ms. Jimenez, you're cheating. and you got caught.
Do you understand Mr. Nunnery's argument that demotion doesn't depend on the rule, on the falsified and forged and fraudulent email?
Yeah. Your Honor, I do understand it. I think it's misplaced. You see, what she was arguing in her complaint was the demotion was one adverse employment action that she was saying was due to her national origin and sex and sexual harassment and discrimination. And so what she tried to do was offer these falsified documents as evidence of the national origin animus, and the sexual harassment.
Right.
So these documents actually permeated her entire claim, because to prove that the demotion was motivated by an impermissible discriminatory reason, she offered the documents.
Then how do you understand his argument?
I understand what he's trying to say. I think he's wrong.
What is he trying to say?
I think really, in essence, what he's trying to say, Your Honor, is that it's not fair, that this trial court went too far. She shouldn't have dismissed Ms. Jimenez's case. When I say, maybe I misspoke, when I say that I understand his argument, I understand what he's trying to argue, but I think he's fundamentally wrong, because the documents that were found to be fraudulent permeate and go to the heart of his case of proving impermissible discrimination. That's why she offered them. Pen smoking guns, you don't see that. And Judge Crabb said, well, wait a minute, you don't see that. You know, this is just too good to be true.
Was
Mr. Nunnery.
Was there anything other than those emails that would go to the demotion?
Yeah, well, to the actual demotion, there was no particular document speaking of the demotion. There were other documents besides the email. What Judge Crabb had found Ms. Jimenez had done was offered documents that were supposedly written by individuals, not just emails, letters.
Yes.
Yeah, written by individuals at the college bearing
the signature. I should have said letters, emails.
Okay. No, I don't think, frankly, any of those letters or emails actually spoke of the quote-unquote demotion. The issue was is that he was offering them as evidence that we had an animus towards her based on her national origin and her sex. And he's saying, see, that bolsters the demotion. They had it out for her based on her national origin. I guess my point is a very simple one. There's a great line from that Mars-Steele decision. And it says, you know, assessing Rule 11 liability, it's a lot like telling a joke. Sometimes you just have to be there to get it. And what I'm saying to Your Honors is that Judge Crabb was there. She saw what was going on, and it was painfully obvious to her, and she said on the record, this is the worst violation of Rule 11 I have ever seen. Let me turn briefly to our Rule 38 motion for sanctions. This court has said, again in Mars-Steele, it must be my favorite case, that the determination of whether or not additional sanctions under Rule 38 are warranted really can be an objective test. Look at the work product. Look at the work product. The lack of substance in the argument can be in itself a strong argument, compelling argument for the imposition of additional sanctions. And I know that res ipsa loquitur, more properly is the parlance of tort law, but I think in this case it applies as well. Mr. Nunnery's brief speaks for itself. He had 5 months to write this brief. Now, I gave him and I agreed to numerous extensions. I'm not saying that he was tardy in that way. But he had 5 months to write this brief, and the brief, when all was said and done, had an argument that bled maybe onto a second page. It cited the wrong standard. It was arguing a case under Rule 37, which has a different standard for imposing sanctions. It has a more subjective one. Rule 11 is more objective. The work product in and of itself was woefully inadequate, and I think it speaks for itself. That's why we're asking for the additional sanctions. My client had to respond to that appeal and to that work product. My client had to send me down here.
How much additional sanction are you asking for?
We submitted, along with our motion, Your Honor, an affidavit supporting $13,271.99. And with the court's discretion, I also want to add that in preparing for this oral argument, and traveling down, we incurred additional expenses that are not contained in the affidavit. And if I could, I will give you that amount. There's an additional $3,891.70. So the total amount that we are seeking on this motion is $17,163.69.
What does the extra almost $4,000 encompass?
Frankly, it encompasses preparing for this oral argument and the travel time a full day today. I spent approximately 10 hours preparing for the oral argument, reviewing briefs and making sure I had all the case law up to date, and then a full day, 8 to 10 hours today, travel.
At how much an hour?
At $210 an hour. I have an actual breakdown, and I'd be happy to submit that to a court.
I think that would be helpful.
May I say one thing in conclusion?
Sure.
I didn't want to bring the motion for sanctions, for whatever it's worth. 15 years is not a long time compared to the relative experience up here. I've been practicing 15 years, and it's the first motion I've ever brought. I wrote letters to Mr. Nunnery. I warned him. I took him to lunch. I asked him not to go forward with the case. I didn't want to do it, but my client has incurred expenses because of this case, and we had no choice. Thank you.
All right, counsel. Thank you. Pardon me? 2 minutes, please.
I think, Judge Rovner, with respect to this case, and you ask about the demotions and what happened to Ms. Jimenez, she was also taken off the People of Color Committee. She was demoted. She asked for investigations of a complaint, and nothing happened. That's all in the record. But in the preface of the proceedings for sanctions in this matter, the notice and hearing related to the emails. What I did before the court, I indicated to the court, look, there are other claims out here that influenced my decision, and those matters caused me this, to make certain decisions.
Why would you ever present to the court fraudulent documents?
Because, Your Honor,
ever.
I should never do that, and Your Honor, I'm not here on that, but if you read, I asked the court to at least give.
No, just answer me. Why would
I would never
a lawyer?
I would never. I would never.
Then what happened? How did they get there?
And Your Honor, as I indicated in the record, I am guilty on that. That the buck stops with me there. I did not believe as I went down this road that they were in that situation.
Let me tell you what really breaks my heart about this case. It's the human beings who were accused of all of these dreadful things, because these are human beings at the college. What Ms. Jimenez did to these human beings and I guess to you, it's a terrible thing.
May I respond briefly?
Sure.
I am a sole practitioner, and I have never in my life been subjected to this. I try to do the right thing. I try
subjected
to.
Subjected to what?
So what I feel my client had done and all of this, but the buck stops with me. I'm not even coming in here on that. But I'm asking this court to please weigh it all. If, in fact, the lady was demoted, or if, in fact, she was taken off the People of Color Committee because she was complaining of discrimination, should she ever have a day?
But you attempted to prove your case with false documents.
I attempted it in the best light. I may have attempted to prove one aspect of it on something that, Your Honor, I did not normally do. No.
Normally?
Knowingly.
Knowingly.
And I ask for compassion and mercy on this court. I have been subject to a editorial in the papers on this. I'm before OAR on this. I have never been sanctioned. And I ask compassion. That's all I can do.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, counsel. We will take the case under advisement. Court is adjourned until next Monday morning at 6:30 a.m.
Line is going to be out the carriage.
Huh? I got it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.